This is an Envoice Media podcast.
Just the wording of saying there is no man, then cancel that out of your life if you want a man.
So women fall into this masculine energy where they need to achieve and get it. And I'm sorry, they grow goals, big and hairy ones.
And if you really want to tap into your feminine, something easy. Swing your hips a little bit when you walk.
Is there anything you do before like a date, something to loosen up, something to like to tap into this feminine?
Now, here are your hosts, Nora and Marina.
Hey everyone, welcome to Just Fake It,
coming to LA. My name is Nora and this is Marina and we're welcoming you to our podcast, Just Fake It. And today we have our beautiful guest, Esra Aslan.
Hi.
Yay.
Thank you. How are you today?
I'm so good and so happy to be here with you too.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, do you know, it's eclipse day. Today is actually I'm seeing pictures and I'm driving around. People are just stopping on the streets and looking in the sky. And I'm like, oh my God, what interesting times we're living in. The last eclipse I saw, it was 2004. I was a child in my village. And then everybody's like, you're going to travel to Texas or Mexico to see it? I'm like, no. I saw it already before.
Yeah, I feel like I saw it too. Like, it's not a big deal.
I saw it too, but years ago.
But there is a definitely shifts happening, especially people who believe in, let's say, in those things like, you know, manifestation universe, which I do.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people in LA.
I feel like it's also a trend.
It is, of course.
Any other trends in LA. Esra, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to introduce you to our audience. Esra is the superwoman in my head, super feminine at the same time. Esra is an entrepreneur. She has two brands, which is Fragile, her own skincare, and the Buka, the startup, its app. We'll go into this a little deeper. And you are also a relationship coach.
Yeah, that's a coach for women.
Yes, she does coach women. And last time I spoke to you, I think we spoke about 3 hours and it just felt like a minute. And I got so many insights from you. You're so wise, and I want our audience to also get some wise advices from you. Maybe we can apply, including me and you, in our lives.
Get ready for a 3-hour episode.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy that I could do that for you and hopefully give small advices.
Yay.
Today.
Sure. So if you could give us a little bit of your story, how did you end up in LA?
So I came to LA. I never dreamt about Los Angeles like many other people that comes here. It was actually a heartbreak that brought me here.
Aww.
Yeah. So heartbreak. I thought I was going to get married and all that back in Sweden. I am from Turkey originally, but born and raised in Stockholm, Sweden. And after that heartbreak, I just wanted to leave. My girlfriends lived here. They went to college. I was coming for 6 months to do college.
And it's been 14 years.
Nice. So, you see, sometimes heartbreaks are
good
for you.
But I'm so happy I came. Yeah, very good for you, you know?
Okay, so your coming to LA was led by a heartbreak.
Yes.
And then you came here for 6 months. Then what changed? Why did you decide to stay?
I mean, for people that hasn't been in Los Angeles, I mean, no matter what people say about this place, this is one of the most beautiful big cities in the world to live in, according to me, and I've traveled quite a bit. The nature, the weather, and the feeling of endless opportunities.
Feeling of endless opportunity. Please elaborate on this
topic. I mean, it kind of goes with your podcast name, like Fake It. A lot of people, whenever we travel, we hear like, oh, Los Angeles, it's so fake. People are so fake. And I don't necessarily agree with them, because when you live here, I think that it's a misconception. It's just, this is the city of entertainment and it has ruled the pop culture and the world for a very long time. And entertainment is a rough business. And I think that people that are drawn to LA are big dreamers.
That's great.
So the way I see it is the reason people, I think, feel like there's a lot of fake people in Los Angeles is because, think about it this way, in every class, when you're a little kid, let's say you're 10 years old, in every class in your country, country, Ukraine, my country, there's always one or two young kids that are different in that class. There are the dreamers. They have bigger dreams than the village. They have bigger dreams than the city they grew up in. And they kind of don't fit in that, you know, step-by-step thing that you do in that country or that city. And then you take all these kids and you send them to Los Angeles.
That's what I said last time. That's so true. We always think that we're the sharks in our own small tanks, but when we come to LA, we realize that everyone is hungry here.
Yeah, everybody's crazy. It's crazy.
All these dreamers come here, and you put them in big cities like Los Angeles, New York, and London, and there's a lot of cities like this. But because of the entertainment industry too, I think it draws a certain type of people. All these dreamers come here, and then it clashes. Mm-hmm. A lot of dreams are broken, a lot of dreams are fulfilled, but there's some type of survival mode here. Yeah. It's cutthroat. You are also always having that feeling that you're one step away. You're one step away. You're at this party with all these celebrities, let's say.
Yes.
Or you're at, you know, you meet all these investors. You're one step away. You're in these beautiful houses, starting to think that maybe that's your lifestyle.
No.
Forgetting that you're going
You come back to your studio one bedroom at the end of the night.
So I think, so a lot of people fake it or have to fake it and give themselves the confidence to be able to survive in cutthroat cities like Los Angeles. And a lot of people fail. But the few ones that stay, they are definitely survivors, as I call it.
Well, that is true. It's such a natural selection in this city.
It is. And I'm also fascinated that every person I meet here, they have this spark in their eye, like about something that they do. Mm. And this really fascinates me because I don't have that at home.
Right.
I don't know if you guys feel the same.
Yeah. I feel like it's... I always say there is a saying in Russian. I'm going to translate happy in the unknown. So people... back home, in, let's say in smaller cities, let's say if we go to Midwestern America, right? I don't think it's the same picture as the villagers back home for me. They don't know there is a big, they've never been to those like big Bel Air houses for like hundreds of millions of dollars, right? They never talked to a celebrity. They never really had those times, or they never really was on a big television. Like they don't know. And because they don't know, they think it's something which is like a pipe dream. They don't even see it. But because we are here, because we had a touch, we already, the hunger just like awakes more and wants more and wants more. But then some people just get burned down because as I said, LA is a place, as you said, where people have to survive. And sometimes, honestly, I never had a problem to find time for dating, right? But you find in LA that either you do your work and business and you focus on yourself for some period of time, or you literally date, because everything takes energy and time. To do something in LA, you have to deliberately choose, okay, today I'm doing this and that, and I cannot just go on a date because I have this and this and that. But if I choose to go on a date, it's another 3 hours of your time. And then
traffic.
Traffic,
and then to actually find a place where you're both going to meet, it's also insane. Mm-hmm. So that's why there are so many singles. People say, okay, there's a saying, right? That LA is so bad for dating. Mm-hmm. And as a relationship coach who coached women for many years, can you please elaborate on this topic? Like why there is a stigma about LA?
I think LA and big cities like LA, I think I hear this in many cities when I go around in the world, big cities have this. I think Los Angeles, again, it comes back to when you take all these dreamers that has sacrificed a lot to be here, you are the star of your life, right? Mm-hmm. So you have all these same type of egos, I would say, especially in a certain areas in Los Angeles, because I also want to say that there is beautiful women and men in this city. You just have to learn how to navigate. But in general... when you take all these people with these big dreams and egos and everybody's the star of their life, there's not much space for someone else. And also, if you're here and surviving as a man, this is a city which is really tough, because let me tell you, I have guy friends that are incredible. And some of them do really well. Some of them are on their way. And some of them have regular jobs. And I'll tell you something. I always ask, why are you, how can, you know, as a man, you can literally choose a woman, because all women wants to be in relationships. Sorry, but in general, we want to belong, right? And they say, I can't afford to have a girlfriend in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's expensive. Yeah.
So there, that's a lot how men feel. There's this notion that women in LA always wants to go to the top, wants to date men that are really successful. And then you ask women, they go, well, all guys just want to have a good time and they're not really serious. And if they're successful, they usually don't have much time. And if they're very successful, they have a lot of option. So there is a disconnect. Mm-hmm. Both sides want. Everybody wants love and connection, and that's how you grow. Or else we're just robots. We don't have
that
to be
true.
Here.
That is true. There's no feeling in love. Like, why do we...
There's no motivation. Yeah. So the motivation for us mm-hmm. to do what we do is to... I mean, obviously, I also want to include, you know, gay, trans people, all of them. Mm-hmm. When I say feminine, masculine energy, I think it's really important that people understand is what you feel that you mm-hmm. are.
Yeah.
But in general, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. women are more feminine, men are more masculine. So, but I think that's the problem. I think that it's cities like this where everybody's here to fight and survive and get to the top. How do you have time and space and capacity?
But you know, we've talked about this.
You do though. You can.
You can. You choose to do it.
It's a choice.
It is a choice, and there is like timelines in life
100%.
Where you can choose to be in a relationship or not. From my personal experiences, like, and all of my girlfriends, majority of them, you know, you usually hang out with single girls. And when you're married, you hang out with married girls. Like, yeah. it's the interests we share.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed, and we talked about it while we're, you know, before, that what I see in LA, there is a pattern. Mm-hmm. So in our 20s, everybody's just like working, just got out of college, trying to survive. Like we don't really talk about dating much.
Time.
Yeah, having a good time, going to festivals. When we turn to 30s, some of us already have some money, established. But at the same time, what I've noticed, the women start wanting to be married because they want to get married in their 30s because they think that's the last train, you know?
Right.
And but that is true. And if you think about it, back home, it would be even 25.
Yeah.
Here it's okay. We have another 5 years to think about, let's say.
Yeah.
And then men in their 30s, especially when they're working hard, that's their prime. So yeah. They're working hard, they're making money. They don't want to settle down because they're still having too much time. Because when they were in their 20s, they couldn't afford a yacht to take the girls on a yacht or like take the trips. They didn't have girls because all the young girls were with the guys who already had money in their late 30s, 40s. And now it's like, you know, it's a shift. Now these guys want to like hang out and have fun with the younger girls, let's say.
Enjoy the success.
And when man hits 40 and after 40, okay, he's done with partying, like he's made his money. And then what? Now he wants to get married. Now he wants to have children, right? And then who he goes for? He goes for 25, 30, maybe 35 max for women because he needs kids. Mm. But for me personally, I don't understand like why a man would choose like 20-year younger girl. Mm-hmm. It's obviously, most of the times, doesn't last. And we know it. It's not a brainer. But men somehow think that women have an expiration date.
Yeah.
But they never think that they also might have an expiration date. Yeah. And I feel this disbalance in LA because there's new girls are coming in who are hungry, who need money. Yeah, you just shuffle the cards, right, for men. And then I see men who end up in their 50s even.
Yeah.
Either divorced, still not married, or maybe...
I don't know. About have you seen guys? There's Al Pacino just had a baby.
83 he's years like, old.
Yeah.
But it's because he's Al Pacino also.
I mean,
I love you. Yes. But.
But what do you think about this mismatch, this disbalance?
I think the age gap between men and women goes back very long, you know, in time. Yes, there is emotion that women, it's a lot about fertility. I think that we have been put on that women are not fertile after a certain age or the fertility decreases, and which I definitely think is completely bullshit.
Okay.
Coaching women, working with women, listening to women, knowing women. There is women that I know that are 25 today that unfortunately have infertility problems, and there is women that are 45 that are on their fourth kid. So I think it's again mental. You are what you think. If you think you're fertile, you're fertile. But if the whole world for centuries has said that women have an expiration date, and yes, of course, physically certain things are decreasing, just like for men. But I think it's put on as a society. That's why men think that they have to be with younger women because of this. Also, obviously, men are very visual, and men need to be... I'm talking general now, but I also don't want to be political correct. I'm tired of that type of talk, so let's skip that. In general, men are very visual, and men need to be very, very physically attracted to their woman, obviously mentally attracted to keep them, you know, to keep them around. But men are a little bit different. I think usually I say women fall in love with their ears.
That is true.
What you tell me, right? Yeah. How you make me feel. And men, they don't walk around and like, oh, wow, she talked really nice, but she is not my type, but I'm still going to ask for a date. Usually that doesn't happen. It's more physical. And it goes back to back in time, you know? Mm-hmm. We're here to breed and reproduce, and I understand that. So younger women, when we are younger, usually we are very perky and beautiful, and as we get older, we are also beautiful, but it's been like this forever, so it's nothing strange. However, I think, again, the sad part about this is the disconnect that happens after a while.
Right.
So I also want to add another thing. Mm-hmm. This is actually, there's this test in psychological science. As men get older, they tend to, especially when they get 50 and up, they start realizing they're not that they're mortal, you know, death.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, women can take care of themselves all their lives. We're very domestic. We can take care of things. Mm-hmm. That's why you see single mothers, hard or not, usually
surviving, and
they're surviving, thriving, and they can do it. But usually you see men when they are divorced or out in a relationship, very fast they're dating you girls or they're around women. So
it's, cannot be alone.
It's funny how people think that men wants to be single so much, yet they cannot be alone. They love us. They need women because we are the nurturers. And yes, we need men too, but men needs us a little more. That's definitely what I think. And as men get older, unconsciously, they start thinking about death. And younger women, this is crazy, younger women reminds them of longevity, vitality, and life.
That is true.
Skin, young skin. This is really like proven.
Energy-wise, when
they want to stay young.
With a younger person, you take their energy. But the young person who is within a very older person gives away the energy. And that's what you can actually see the difference.
Yeah.
Because energy is everything.
It is.
It's a balance. It's a dance between two people.
So and for them, it's like a fountain of youth, right?
It's a fountain of youth. Okay. So it's not so much about
the blood
fertility.
Of the virgins.
The blood of the virgin.
Which I don't think there are many in LA, but still the blood of the virgins. Okay, that was rough. It was just a joke.
Yeah. But the disconnect comes then later on for men that they have a hard time connecting with younger women mentally. Mm-hmm. And also a younger woman, if you're 15, 20 years younger than a man, usually, right? You're not really there for maybe similar interests or pure love. So it doesn't last very long. And then if you want to have a child from a much younger woman, usually she might not be ready. Mm-hmm. And then it falls apart later on. So I think that's why we see a lot of 50, 55, 60-year-old men that are never married, single, maybe not have kids. It's trust issues, and then always being around women that they choose that don't have the maybe that right mindset that you would want. So there is a complete disconnect here, and we are just passing by each other. And what I'm trying to do is just like, put seeds into that, make that gap smaller.
Right.
Because we're just passing by each other. We're all here, and there's amazing men here, and there's amazing women here. And
so about this gap, about this disbalance, I do see this, and I think all of us do. What women and men should do to minimize this gap? Maybe women are doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe men are doing something wrong. Let's speak about women first, and then we transfer to men.
Yeah. I think, especially women that comes to me and women that I listen to, again, wherever I go here and in the world, something that I hear all the time is, there is no men in LA, or there is no men in Istanbul, or there is no men here and there. And I quickly want to remind all the women out there that, newsflash, 50% of the population of the world are men.
Yeah.
So they are everywhere. And it's your perception, right? So just the wording of saying there is no man, cancel that out of your life if you want a man, okay? You put spells with your words. That's why it's called spelling, according to me.
Okay.
So whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what you're going to live in the real world.
So watch what you say.
I would say.
Watch what you think.
First, there's men everywhere. You can go to a village in Oklahoma and find a man.
Very hardworking men too, by the way. Yeah. They can change your tire.
Go to the Midwest, guys. No, but there's men everywhere. But you need to be open to it. So first, check yourself. If you walk around a little bit bitter and angry and thinking that there is no men and that all men are this and that, most likely you're going to only attract that, right? We all know this about law of attraction, so I don't want to get into that. That's old news at this point. Another thing I think is really important. What are you looking for in a man? So I hear a lot, we want providers, we want protectors, we want manly men, but we also want them to be emotional, all this stuff. You can have all that. But are you that?
Exactly. So
so whatever you put on, I always say, put on a list what you want in a man.
Would you date yourself?
Yes, I would totally date myself.
Okay, Marina, would you date yourself?
I worked on it.
For sure.
I always ask myself that. Yeah. Are you worthy enough? No. Everybody wants a worthy partner, worthy friends, worthy life, but are you worthy enough?
Yeah.
And so, people don't see it in themselves. They're like, I'm perfect, but you're not.
No.
And so that's when the disbalance starts.
So I would say write down everything that you want in a partner and then be that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that if you want a successful providing man that you have to be at the same level of success or maybe more or less. It's not about that. But what you want, start there. If you want a fit, good-looking, fresh, non-smoking, somebody that wakes up every morning that also is emotional and nurturing, be that. Once you start being that, you're going to attract that. Because guess what? Those high-valued men are looking for that woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those two things, A, take away this fact that there is no men. Okay. Take that out of your vocabulary and with time out of your mind and your system. Mm-hmm. And every time someone says it, say the opposite.
Okay.
Fake it. Meaning
fake
like,
it.
Yeah.
Train your brain.
If you say exactly. Okay. And then make the list and start striving to become that. You know, you don't, again, like not the same level, but, and also, men are not necessarily looking for like someone to, you know how we're like, we need to be so successful in this. And yeah, it is very, very attractive to have mission goals, have something to wake up to. But from my understanding, men want love, support, nurture. When they're out fighting for you, someone to come home to where they can take off the shield and just be.
Just relax.
But if you want a man that is this guy, and let's say you're a house stay, what did you say? Stay home
nowadays
girlfriend?
It's a new term, staying home girlfriend. And literally, it's, you can see it everywhere in LA. There are girls who are models, let's say.
That's
they
so
don't
boring.
They don't work.
I mean, like, good for you if that's what you want, and I'm really like, good for you. But if you are a stay home girlfriend, let's say, which I've been that, and your man is working and, let's say, providing for you, then I'm asking, is it attractive if you would go to work early in the morning to see your partner still in bed, rolling around?
No.
No. So it's not really about what you do, how much you make. It's about having a reason to live and wake up. It's really attractive to have someone, for example, I mean,
with a personality. With their own goals and dreams.
Own goals. And like, if for example, for me, working out, hiking, taking care of our dog, our house at the time, these things were so important to me. And all, you know, and it's also a way to make him stronger and better and more successful.
Okay.
If he feels good. If this is what you want, right? So I think that that's also very important. What do you bring to the table? Mm-hmm. And then the most important, I would say, which, you know, we'll probably get a lot of backlash for this, but if I'm talking to a certain audience right now, you know, I'm not going to talk to everything in between. I think everybody can pick and choose what they like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you are if you want to be the more feminine in your relationship or in your life, then you need to act like it.
Exactly.
Like,
so, there is a saying which my brother once told me, and I you know, sometimes women fall into this masculine energy where they need to achieve and get it. And I'm sorry they grow balls, big and hairy ones. I'm sorry, maybe people would not like that. But let's be honest, let's be honest. And men are also afraid of this kind of women sometimes. Or the women maybe subconsciously choose men who are weaker so they can boss them around because that's how they used to. And in this case, my brother, I remember, told me, Nora, remember, your power as a woman is in your weakness. Mm. And it hit me.
So beautiful.
Because personally, I always think, oh, I'm underachiever. Like, I need to get there. I need to do this. I need to do this. And I always fell into like traps. Either I'm a homestaying girlfriend or I'm working hard. So there's no balance. Yeah. There's no balance. And when I always try to fight my feminine energy and be more masculine, be cutthroat, because that's how you have to survive, I'm like, you get tired.
Yeah.
And you're not a woman. And when you see how men look at you, that they're not attracted because you're not playful anymore.
Yeah.
You're not funny. You're not light anymore. Yeah. But we men, they want this lightness.
Yeah.
They want this fun. And not just fun, I'm talking about the parties, but like overall, just not be depressed and tired as a woman, but be actually like a light in their life.
Yeah. But is that easy when you're trying to survive?
Absolutely not.
So, but I think there's life hacks and there's ways to do it to be able to find the balance. All of us are trying to find the balance, right? And I think, for example, I mean, am I going to get into it? A lot of times, a lot of my clients, I have them, for example, use me as the man that they want to, or if they're going to tell me about a fight or something that happened. And then very quickly, I hear them speak very aggressively. It's very cutthroat. And I'm not saying that women cannot be angry.
Okay.
But if 80% of the time, if you could find your power in softness and still be super powerful, isn't that you don't lose as much energy and you get your point across. When I say my ways of coaching is more strategy, this is what I'm talking about. It's not some evil strategy. No. It's more a strategy where your point comes across, you get to the goal that you want, and you lose less energy. So it's a smooth way. And I think why I'm so obsessed with femininity is because we have that. Okay, men had to fight for centuries, fight, go to war, all this.
Okay.
There's hundreds and thousands of soldiers died for Helena of Troy. So like,
I mean, the war started because of women.
Know your power.
Yeah.
So, for example, a lot of times if you speak like a man to a man, he will respond to you like a man.
That is true.
Okay.
And then we get mad, you know. But if you can de-arm and also preserve your energy, not only with men in general, you know, this softer, calmer, and a lot of men should adapt this too, because being soft, collected, and calm.
Okay, I have
changes every relationship encounter in your life, in business, work, love, family, everything. So, my first thing is that you need to check the way you speak. You need to take a few steps back, and there's obviously exercise and things and a certain lifestyle that you need to adapt to be able to do this easier. But speaking is very important.
Okay.
Preserve your energy and then let the rest, just let it unfold. You don't have to do everything and say everything. And if it's a two-way, let the man speak a little bit.
Let the man be a man.
Let the man talk a little bit. You know, so just small tweaks makes the whole difference. And when you see the reaction from the other side, God, I'm not even mad right now. And he actually understood me. Then you start repeating it and you find your own way. And then you become the most attractive woman in the room for everyone to be around, even women.
Okay.
Yeah.
For single women right now. The ones who don't have a boyfriend or broke up because of their emotions, uncontrollable emotions, let's say. Does quantity matter? So people say it's all about numbers, going out on dates. If she is right now at the point of her life where she wants to start dating, she's like, she said all her life, does quantity matter? because they say, oh, I went on a date and he was so horrible, this and that. And guys say, oh, I was catfished so many times. It was like, again, mismatch. So in perspective of women, do women need to date more? Go on dates? Where they find those dates besides apps? Because some people just hate apps and it's time consuming.
So most women say they want a date to meet the love of their life. So much pressure on you and the guys.
Yeah.
God damn, that's a lot, right? I want to throw that into the trash immediately. Why do we want to be with someone? To feel alive, because love is the reason we're here, right? Without love to your family, a woman, a man, a pet, there's really not much to live for, right? Not like that, but I mean, love to anything in life, love to food, whatever, love. So if you're out to feel love, that's different. Then you don't have to be on apps. You could, but you don't have to be on apps. Everybody is a potential, everybody is a potential love perspective. I mean, okay, I'm going to redo this. I got a little sidetracked. So don't go out with the mission. Ladies, do not go out with a mission. What you're actually wanting is someone to share your life with. Okay? Warm arms to come home to. That's what we want.
Yeah.
A partner in life. Maybe become a wife one day. Maybe have a love child. That's the way I think. So if you do this now, you don't have to hunt, search, or there's not, it's not about numbers. What you do is that you say, okay, I'm going to be open to get courted by men, especially women in Los Angeles, in these cities. There are so, there's so many bad dates and everybody just want to use me. Why don't you just, you know, exist? And as you exist throughout your day and you're in your soft feminine, things and people will approach you, trust me, if you're open. And instead of thinking, should I just go on a bunch of dates, be open to go on dates with maybe a person that you wouldn't think. Or how am I? I'm trying to say this. Don't look for your future husband.
Don't chase, right, attract. Away,
right? And also just, you know, go and have a good time. Going on a date. It takes a lot for a man to take you on a date too. You know? So if you go on enough of these encounters, dates, all this stuff. So instead of looking for the one, fill your tank with beautiful words, men that court you. And also it's a good way to also test your new feminine techniques, you know. But what I'm saying is just go to live. And you'll be surprised what you find out there. And fill your tank. I think the desperation that comes from women here or in a lot of places is that they hold on and then they have this thought that it needs to be this type of man. Okay.
And at this particular time, everything is by book.
So the second this man comes around and he has one thing, let's say he's successful. Usually it's about that. Nothing else. So then you go on a date and then it just falls short, 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 because you're not pure and you're not there with pure intentions. What if you just, and you are in a deprived place because you're deprived, right? And then the second you feel something for someone, you don't let them work for it long enough, maybe, and then it falls apart.
You become too attached, desperate.
That's a whole other, you know, topic that I really think. But to hold back a little bit, fill your tank. You can fill your tank with all types of men in your life. Like, for example, me, I have a lot of incredible men in my life. I love male energy. I love feminine energy too, for sure. But I love men around me. I love it. And I have a lot of really good guy friends. And every time I'm around my guy friends, they remind me that I'm beautiful. And because I am so comfortable around them, they see me for who I am. And they lift me. They give me all these compliments and all that. So my tank is quite full, right?
Okay.
So when I do go on dates or meet other men, I already feel loved.
So you don't need this man to give you that much.
Do I have my personal love right now? Maybe not. but I feel loved. Mm-hmm. So, which puts me in a place where I'm not angry, frustrated, and bitter, because that's something that everybody can smell, but especially men. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking when you said that playful energy, that more softer.
Yeah.
That's what we lose when we're in this. I'm going to hold on to everything, and I'm mm-hmm. only going to find the man of my life, and everybody's a player, and he only wants to have this and that with me. Yeah, that's not attractive. So fill your cup. If you have to go on, if you don't have a bunch of rules to who you're going to go on a date with, there is thousands of men out there ready to court you, take you on a date, say something beautiful, and lift you up.
Absolutely.
You might fall in love with one of them. Love comes from the most incredible places. And if you don't, your cup is full. You're not desperate, bitter, or angry anymore, which means that you're in an energy that attracts everything.
So do you think girls should lower the plank a little bit? Like, let's say if you have like this high expectations, but like you just go on a date with like just a nice guy.
And another thing also, like lower, what is lowering? Because I feel mm-hmm. like, let's be honest, it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about money. It's about success.
Yeah.
Lowering is usually when we talk among women, it's like, I mean, should I go with a guy with a regular job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I think that if you're a driven woman, mm-hmm. and if you wake up and you take care of yourself, your mental, your inside, and you're trying to strive for something, whatever it is, you're a dance teacher, you're a yoga instructor, you're a doctor, entrepreneur, homestay girlfriend, it doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you are. Mm-hmm. If you wake up and you have a mission and you're excited about your life mm-hmm. and you think that you're valued, then you're going to ask and obviously want someone that is the same. So I understand that a high-value woman wants a high-value man. But if lowering the bar is only talking about financials,
mm-hmm.
you're always going to lose.
Okay.
Because lowering the bar, in what world is like, how many, okay, of all the girls that we know that's around really, I'm okay, LA, everybody's been around very, mm-hmm. very wealthy men. Where are they now? Are they usually together? How many percentage has gotten married? How many?
So divorced.
Divorced, like 50%.
Or even together. Or are we just passing each other in life because we have the guys want a 22-year-old brain surgeon and the girls want a super successful, hot, super masculine but still feminine woman, man, sorry.
Yeah.
So like we're passing each other in life. Lower the bar mm-hmm. for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just be a little bit. And another thing, believe it or not, when you have love and when you're pure, find someone that is aligned with you, that wants to, mm-hmm. that kind of likes the same lifestyle. If you're a morning person, hard to be with someone that loves to live at night, right?
Absolutely.
So things like that. And when you have that match and that partnership, the people that I've seen gone the furthest, even including myself,
mm-hmm.
the best relationship I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something, I believed in it, in him. It was before I was even in love.
Yeah.
I respected his hustle. I was tired of all the, I don't want to say trust fund babies, but like, you know, all these like, oh, man, I'm this, I'm that, like, I'm, or like these fucking stars, which is great. They're also amazing guys. They're, don't get me wrong to all of you, but.
No, but you got attracted to a self-made.
I also got attracted to the hustle, right?
Yes.
So when I saw something and I said, wow, I respect you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The person told me, listen, I don't have time right now because I'm building something. I really don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
I made the decision to understand and accept this person where they were in life
mm-hmm.
and fit myself into that life.
Mm-hmm.
So I put ego to the side because my, you know, eyes on the prize. It was, I saw something that worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
I respected it and I wanted to be on this train. Worked, even if I didn't have to work, I worked hard next to this person more than I've ever done before. I mean, now I'm working insanely hard, but that was kind of the catalyst for me. And what I created with this person, I haven't done with other people that maybe mm-hmm. have more. Or and today, even though we're not together, we'll always respect each other because we mm-hmm. were there.
Yeah.
So there's something about building with someone, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
and being there from, you don't mean scratch or not scratch, but being in the process, you're mm-hmm. more, they don't exchange you as fast then, and you don't exchange them as fast.
You're more invested in each other.
Invested. And when you have love and goal together, there's nothing you cannot do. And how amazing it is to go out and come back tired together.
And
fall into each other's arms and be like, no matter what, we have each other. It sounds like a love story, but it's really not. I think that's more realistic than men going just for, you know, being terrified of women all day long, thinking they're going to take everything they have that they built for, which is so crazy. I want to say something about that later. But and then women are, I need to survive, survive. So first thing on the list is, can he provide for me? Who is he? What is his status? And then you miss each other in life. Those people are the ones ending up alone. And then you see the people that are like, I choose you. I'm going to make it work with you for as long as it works. And when it doesn't work, I'm happier, healthier, and wealthier because I knew you.
And there is this, there is one thing I experienced personally in my life. When you are thinking just about survival, when you're desperate, you go on dates on certain people, right? And you think they match. But at the end, and the time passes, and then you realize, oh, maybe it's not the right thing. Or maybe you didn't do something enough. So this mismatch happens, and I know that there is also respect, right? For example, we respect men for what? For his achievements. Men also would respect us, not just because we're a homestaying girlfriend. Like, you have to always bring something on the table. And even if you're not making as much money, you still need to have some sort of plan, some lifestyle, something. And then I see a lot, and especially nowadays, the rates of divorce and like breakups, it's overly, I think 50% at least. And even if you got married successfully, does not mean that you can just relax and like do nothing, just have babies. No, it's all about development. So in life, every human being, it's not just on men. That self-development is also on women and constant. And I believe that you should love to grow. Because I think the worst advice you can give to a person, especially women, say to each other, oh, stay the same, as beautiful as you are. No, don't stay the same. Be better. But don't like, don't overwork about it. Because like some women right now, there's a plank, high plank for women to be hot, fit, successful, and nurturing and loving and feminine, masculine, everything. No, you just got to choose your piece of cake. It doesn't have to be everything, but you can be good at something. And the relaxing part, you always have to take care of yourself. There should be a balance. Don't overwork, don't burn down. But at the same time, don't think that there is a point, because I had the same mistake. I thought there was a point in life where you can just like get there, relax, and life is done. Everything is going to go smoothly. No. You got to learn how to dance under the rain, under the sun, and everything. And faster you develop this ability to enjoy life with man or without man, or with this or without that, just be you, faster you become happier. And happy is not a constant state. People should understand. Everybody's like, ask them, oh, I want to be happy. But do you know happiness? Okay, it's this peak of emotions. But in fact, you want to be in peace. In peace with yourself, with others, and in harmony. And I think that lots of people don't understand that. They go to high emotions, to high peaks, but it never lasts. It's like being on drugs. So to find constant state of peace, constant state of harmony, and it's not going to be constant, trust me. It's going to be like up and downs, but once you learn, that's how your life is going to be. And the same with men. They are also, some of them are desperate. And I wanted to go back to the point where there is a disbalance. And we talked about women, but I want to briefly kind of cover men. I know you work mostly with women. But what men should or not do? Because nowadays men are terrified to come up with the women. They feel like they lost their masculinity at some point. They cannot show, because women became so strong. Don't open me a door. You don't have to bring me flowers. You don't have to do this and this. I can do it myself. I can drive to a date. I can pay for my own thing. Like, women did that to men. Let's be honest. But what men should do in this situation?
Yeah, like you said, women should take a few steps back and like, let men, you know, take some space and do that. And also not be scared to ask what you need. So if you, will you pick me up? Will you open the door for me? And if they do, show appreciation. Because if you get rewarded, you want to do it again. For men, I think one thing for successful men, this is for you. We start with like when I say success, okay, let's say in the regular measures, money, right? Successful men, what I hear a lot, especially in these type of cities, They're very scared, and they have this, you know how I talked about women being bitter that there's no men and men only wants one thing. Well, men are the same way. They just say they only want one thing. They just want my money. They want to use me, this and that. If you are successful, you're probably successful because you are smart. So if you are smart, you probably don't have anything to worry about. This lady is not going to come like a money monster and eat your legacy up. It's just not possible. Usually you have all the protection in the world. So please, what are you afraid of? Mm-hmm. You're the successful one. You have a...
Anyway. You are the in power. You're in a place of power.
You're in a place of power. So get rid of that. You know, at most she will like... Okay, and then if you are successful and you have a beautiful home or a car or something, let's say, whatever. If you want to continue living it in it alone, do it. You know, at most, what do you give to someone you love if you have the ability to give them? You share the same roof, you let them live with you, you already live there, you're just sharing it. If you eat, you eat together. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, if you travel, it's nice to have a travel person with you. Someone to travel.
Absolutely.
So what I'm saying is, like,
is it really that bad?
Is it really that bad? Are we really that big of threats? No, actually not. And another thing for men in these situations, if you are successful and you have an established life as a man, right? And you have money, then for someone that has that, yes, it's hard to maintain it. I get it, all that stuff. But if you have it, and what you bring to a woman's life is experiences that could bring, let's say, if we're talking just the money part, obviously you bring other things to the table. But for someone that has something that is tangible to give it, it's easy if you have it, right? But let's say the other part, if you are the nurturer and you don't have as much, let's say usually the woman.
Yeah.
If she is a good partner and, you know, which I think a lot of women have this quality. We are good partners. We are loving. We are nurturing. We want to take care of our men. She gives her time and effort. And you can't measure that with money because that's something she has to give from
herself
and create. Mm-hmm. But if you can make her life a little easier with sharing your roof that you already live under, that you're already paying.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying, look at, like, for women, we have to look at from this. We need to understand men.
Mm-hmm.
But men, come on. And especially if you're successful. And for men that are on their way, or men that just wants to, the men that understands that we're all going to die and not take anything with us to the grave.
Yeah, and just enjoy lives.
Like,
which
so
is
dark.
Which is the biggest thing for all of us. We're fighting so hard to have all these things and then we're not taking anything with us. Great. What a joke's on us.
Yeah.
Anyways, find yourself, look at women that has good habits. You're talking about wanting this woman that is A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, the whole list. Check marks.
Where are you looking? One. And then also, look at her habits. How is she living without you? And if you want that life, usually you want the nurturing, beautiful, she takes care of herself. Well, look there. You want a girl that is successful or has a mission? Look at the girl that wakes up at 6, 7, 8 in the morning, you know, and things like that. So check yourself. You want a lot of things, but are you really looking in the right place? And then another thing for men, I think it's if you want a beautiful woman that is going to be flirty and soft and all these things, help her be that. Women want, again, don't bash me, all the women. In general, we want to relax, preferably in your arms. So create that environment. It's so easy to de-arm a woman if she's up here, stressed. Just tell her, I got you. It doesn't have to, I got you doesn't mean only financial or anything. Like, take something off her plate. you know. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to soften women, and it's so easy to empower men too. Mm-hmm. You know, so we need to exchange the services a little bit. So
I think women and men should just take some steps back, mm-hmm. relax a bit, and think about feelings more, and think about just higher selves, and try to mm-hmm. become worthier. Yeah. And of course, on your way, you're going to meet people who are not worthy. And you would think that everybody else is like that. You might get tired, your hands can go down, and you get like, oh, I'm done. I heard so many times when people are done. I'm done dating. Mm. I'm done this. I'm done that. I'm like, okay, well, few people came into your life who, I don't know, hurt you or misled you or lied. But it's life. It's not heaven. And that's learning experiences. But again, I'm not saying just lower your bar, but become more understandable to people, women and men, because they don't listen. They only have the check marks. And trust me, I've been... in my life, I've been on dates where literally people sat down and they're like, okay, you meet this, and check marks. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. First of all, I'm a human being.
Yeah. Human is the most important.
Yeah, I'm a human being. Do you want to know what I like?
Yeah.
How was my day? Mm. Like, simple things. And it's all about, okay, you are that high, you are that, you do this and
like
this and
object.
That. You make. And I feel like I'm sort of a dog, or I don't know, cat, I don't know, whoever is out there who is on some sort of stage trying to meet all the criteria. Because as women, we're raised, especially in the countries like ours, we always have to know how to cook. We always have to meet those criteria. And I was so tired at some point because I always have to meet somebody else's criteria. Mm. And nobody ever asked me, well, what about you? Mm. You personally. And then most of women, trust me, if you ask them what they want, especially in our countries, they would be like, no, I mean, everything is good. Mm. Like, I have this, I have that. But none of them have the personality or uniqueness. In LA, it's, of course, everybody do have, but most of the times they want the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, as you said, concluding whatever we all said, just take steps back. Just think about the other person, and other people also have emotions.
Mm-hmm. Men, and you can also bring out emotions in people. You know, I've sat across a lot of, let's say, men that are, and women actually, but let's say men. Then I sat across a lot of men that maybe a lot of people are like, oh, he is an asshole, or he has no respect for women.
They have feelings.
But you know what the funny thing is? When they're in front of someone that is... Mm-hmm. They change. So you can de-arm people because really everybody is just emotional creatures inside. But you can de-arm them by just being in your own safe place. And another thing that I think is really important, which is for me a life hack, which is... In this life, if you want to be able to live paradise in hell, because the human experience is really painful, it is. Even if you love and you have everything, you can lose it, right? Yeah. Family members, we're all going to do it at some point in some shape and form. So it is painful. Even loving and happiness, all that is painful because it can be taken away from you. But you want to live paradise in hell, realize one thing, it's never about you. People's reaction and the way people respond or what people do to, it's not about you. So, for example, when say people say, well, he ghosted me or she did that, it's not about you. You don't know what happened prior to that. You don't know that person's childhood. You don't know why they are reacting in this way. You don't know why they cannot commit. You don't know why you're acting like this. So when you realize it's not about you, and you put your ego into that cup of water, things become, you see people for what they are. And when you take yourself out of that victimhood and that hurt place,
the world changes because you look at things differently. Just open your mind.
All right, ladies, before we move on to next conversation, I wanted to ask Ezra, you mentioned something about you have feminine techniques.
So
I was thinking maybe she could teach us something, like
some
just
practices.
Give us some practical thing to do.
Okay, these are going to sound really simple, but if you really want to get into your feminine, and again, it's not that you're not, but like if you think about a queen, right? Mm-hmm. Queens don't really raise their voices and they're not really aggressive because everybody listens anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would say your tone of your voice, keep it calmer. Mm-hmm. You want people to listen to you, talk slower.
Sexy voice.
Even when a man talks slower to me, it makes me, I have to focus on what he's saying, right? So, which makes me focus and take my time and teaches patience and things like that. And another thing, I think it's such a small thing, but if you feel like, oh my God, I'm out of my feminine, mm-hmm. how can I tap into it? Decide in that morning to do like a light, what do you say? You know how we get dressed up and dolled up for special events?
Yeah.
No. For example, today there is a light doll up of me. This is not my full on, but usually I'm in my workout clothes and I'm like, why am I not feeling feminine? But when I want to feel feminine, put a little effort. Mm-hmm. Do a little makeup, maybe put a little extra, like the perfume that you usually take on a date, put it on throughout the day and swing your hips when you walk. I'll tell you something. Okay. It sounds like stupid. Mm-hmm. But women should be in flow. You know, dancing is really nice. Dance in front of a mirror into beautiful music that you love. But throughout the day, if you really want to tap into your feminine, something easy, swing your hips a little bit when you walk. Mm-hmm. You'll see how the world changes around you. But you also start feeling more loose and flowy. We are supposed to be more flowy. And women should be more like that.
Is there anything you do before like a date, something to loosen up, something to like to tap into this feminine?
Yeah, I drink rose tea.
Oh,
or magnesium.
Okay. That's to relax.
And I think it's because obviously we do get, but I get nervous too. And it's so beautiful to be. If you're nervous before a date, good for you. So
just
good,
right? Fake it, girl. Just fake it. Don't sweat.
Good for you. Okay. And if you are nervous, guess what? He's probably too. And if you are, and it's getting to a place where like, I drink, I like to be a little calmer. Maybe have a little drink if you want before. Mm-hmm. But I listen to really, you know, whatever that. Every guy, I mean, all men are different, but like whatever music I feel like, I listen to a lot of beautiful Italian music. I kind of have like a pre-date with myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
The routine, the process.
It's almost like a ritual, you know, you don't just run there. You could, but, and then if you are nervous, there is nothing more cute, romantic than being honest. Mm-hmm. Tell him,
I'm really nervous. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It will disarm him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if he's honest too, or if you, like, I remember one time I was in a day, he was like, my hands are really sweaty. And I was just like, that's such a compliment. I did that to you.
Aw.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I have those moments where I spill a drink or break a glass, I mean, it happens with me all the time.
People
who know me, like, I'm usually a graceful woman, but I am clumsy. Or I hit like my shoulder with it or something. They would never look at me badly. They would actually would disarm them and they would be like, oh, it's so cute.
You become human.
Mm-hmm. I become human. The and this whole wall between us of perfection we have to present just falls down. Just humor.
And it allows him to also become that.
Absolutely. And then you can see real people without any, you know, all this egos on top of it or presentation because everybody needs to be.
We have enough of that on Instagram and social media. And keep it raw and real.
Okay,
it's so refreshing.
So guys, girls and guys, women and men, be vulnerable, be real, and remember that every one of us have feelings and always respect each other's feelings and make sure that you communicate because communication and knowing how to communicate is also another mastery and the key to anything successful in your life, not just relationship, but everyday life. What are we doing right now? We're communicating.
Yes.
First of all. Yeah. And I really want, you know, we can talk for hours and that's why I love you, Esra and Marina. We can literally.
Yeah, interesting topic for everybody.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure we will continue at some point. But I know that I want to really, really highlight the point that you're also a female entrepreneur. But you're also staying in your feminine energy, which is really hard to balance. Mm. You're a very hardworking person. You've succeeded in businesses before and now you're having another startup. Please tell us about your brand, and I know it is connected to women and your background, how you grew up. Mm-hmm. Please just let people know, and because I find it fascinating, and I would definitely use your products in the future.
I'm gonna give you a lot of products. I'm gonna try to make this a little short and easy. I'm third generation of a lineage of women that are agricultural women, farmer women. So both my grandmothers from both sides of my family.
In Turkey,
grew up on farms, managing an entire farm. At that time, men were outside working, usually in bigger cities and stuff. So the woman took care of eight kids. and my both my grandmothers had 8 kids each, and took care of the land and the, you know, animals and all of that, and ran an entire basically business. So coming, that's my lineage. And then I was born and raised in Sweden because my mom, you know, met my father and they fell in love and they moved to Sweden, and that's where I was born and raised. Years passed by. About 25 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is an autoimmune illness. Interestingly, most women get it, and especially in her generation. And I don't want to get into why, but I have my research why I think that's happening a lot to women. An autoimmune illness is basically when your body attacks itself. So she, you know, chronic fatigue, constant pain, all these things, and you become highly, highly sensitive to noise, everything, climate, cold, warm, everything. So I grew up with a mom that was highly sensitive. Therefore, the name of my brand is Be Fragile. She was fragile, which made me an expert in attention to detail. So everybody has these stories, right? We become a lot of what we are, and who we are is due to our childhood. And then you are good at this because you had this in your life. So when it became so unbearable that she basically couldn't function or, you know, get out of bed many times, she made the decision to move back to the land, which is at this point in Turkey. And she got herself a piece of land with olive trees.
Nice.
And she decided to have less in life, to retreat to the land. I mean, not being working in the society, to take what she had and live in this beautiful land of olive trees and create olive oil and go back to basics. So watching my mom healing herself through the natural world, I knew that one day I have to go back and do something similar. Came to Los Angeles, did school, all of that, and then somehow I fell into having a factory where I created and formulated a lot of CBD products. And, you know, CBD is a plant, and there is a lot of other plants that are as powerful as that plant for all remedies that we need. And that's how Fragile was born. 2 years ago, I decided
I've seen some of the... you know, some of your product. I never tried though yet, but I know it is exciting time because you're launching in a day.
Yeah, so excited.
Last year I did a soft launch. It was just a tryout. I created an inventory. Everything is handmade by women. And we have our workshop down in Venice Beach. And because everything is handmade and selected of only cold press oils in California and farms in California, you could only create a certain amount of batch. So every 3 months we can create 10,000 products only, which is fresh skincare, you know, as I call it. And
I know that you sold out your first batch even without any marketing. People loved
Not
it.
Not being online either It was more into stores and female festivals and events and things like that. I got so much love, again, from women, which is, it's so incredible. But that's the beauty of our time, right? We can empower each other, really.
And there is no such thing as trying to compare with us with men or women. We should just always thrive to learn from each other and to support each other, no matter women, men. And, you know, there's so much to talk about. And I know that the Fragile is launching soon. The best luck to you. For you, we'll be there. We'll be there to support.
So tomorrow we're going all online.
That's so cool.
We're doing e-commerce because I want to be free enough to live all around the world.
Yay.
And do this. So
amazing.
That is amazing. And I know that your brand Be Fragile, it's because of your life story, your mother. And you also said the advice, do not be afraid for women to be fragile, because we all live up to these high stakes, and it's okay to be sensitive. It's okay to be fragile because we are women, first of all. That's, as far as I understood, your message of your brand. And I also know, just to kind of finalize our conversation, I also know that you write poems and you write your own poems on every product of yours. Is there a favorite one?
I usually say it's all started with a poem, because a few years ago I just wrote this poem. And it's a little abstract, but for the people that understand. And yeah. That's how kind of fragile.
We started
with a poem, uh-huh. And here we are, you know? But I also want to say, look at your brother said, men fall in love with women's weaknesses. I think what he meant is when we are
our power perfect. Is in weakness. Yeah.
When we're not perfect, when we are vulnerable, when we're human, when we are sensitive.
I always say, do not be afraid of your imperfections. I'm not saying you shouldn't work on those.
No.
But at the same time, we're all human beings. Just remember, we're all human beings. We all have flaws, and it's okay.
Yeah, and nobody falls in love with a perfect person. If you did, you would have been with all... There's
Nobody's
so many.
Perfect.
Nobody falls in love with good vibes. Everybody falls in love with, I don't know what she did or he did.
Yeah, when people say, I don't want drama. All I want is like fun. Let's have some fun. Once the girl or man starts having drama, they're like, no, that's not for me. But hey, life without drama or communication issues is not a life. And if you choose to pass on a person who you love because of certain things, it's also not good. But it depends. It's like maybe a sickness as well. Like there is a balance.
There is a balance.
There is
sure.
a balance. You have to know your limits and balances. But anyway, coming back to Be Fragile.
Yeah.
I've never heard any of your poems, and I know that you write them down on every product you have, different ones. And I think that just brings people closer to you, women who use your product, and it creates some sort of a community where women are not afraid to be fragile. So please just state one of your poems.
I've never done this before.
I like to write, so excited.
That's a premiere.
Some background music, please.
We'll put some background music.
No, I'm joking.
Oh, you hear da-da-ding, already piano is playing. Just imagine.
Yeah, but basically, it's the same message that we've been talking about. So it goes like this. In a world where we are told to be strong and strength is perceived as emotionless, we tend to forget the very essence of our existence. If you don't feel you're not alive, be fragile.
Wow. Esra Aslan, be fragile. No, it's actually, it's not a promotion. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But next beautiful. Episode is brought to you by Fragile.
By the way.
No, our products are just vessels for women to create the routine that they need. We can do it all by ourselves, but we need sometimes, you know, gym memberships and products to take us into those places and do take care of ourselves. So.
I love it. Thank you, Esra, so much for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yay.
All right. This was Esra Aslan. And please stay tuned for this beautiful woman who contains femininity in her and badass. She's absolutely biggest badass I know. And like, honestly, I admire women. I love women. I love men. I love human beings. And let's finish this podcast with love.
Thank you,
we
guys.
Talked about love
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Yeah. Thank you for listening for Just Fake It coming to LA. Thank you for Invoice Media. Voice your passion.
Voice your passion, guys. Invoice Media.